Welcome back. This is the Confident Collective podcast, and we are your hosts. I'm Rayanne.
And I'm Christina. We are curb models, content creators, and some would even say comedians.
We started the Confident Collective podcast to help you live your most confident life by sharing our stories and sitting down with experts to talk about, well, life.
We chat sex, dating, business, relationships, and so much more. We hope you love this episode, so let's get into it.
Last week,
yeah,
on Patreon, I like spilled all the tea on my new relationship, blah, 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 blah. Like, are we sick of hearing about it? I hope not, because I won't shut up about it. But okay, it was just interesting because I was telling him the other day that I was like, you know what? I just feel so myself with you. And, you know, and I described it as like, okay, you know, when you're growing up mm-hmm. and you would go to like Olive Garden and like Chili's and like you're like, oh my God, that food is so good.
Yeah.
But now as you get older and you like try more restaurants, you're like, wait, like I thought that was good. Like now I know what good, real like good food is. That's what I feel like. Like I feel like in past relationships,
I am dying because that's not where I thought you were going with it. I thought you were going to say, but now as you get older, you still love it, but you're embarrassed to say you think that's really good food. But with him, I could say, I love Olive Garden. I love Chili's.
It was a metaphor.
No, I am dying.
You thought I was going on this whole rant to say I love Olive Garden and Chili?
That you could just be so yourself in front of him that you could admit things like you still think Olive Garden slaps.
I mean, I haven't had it in a while. It could. No, what I'm trying to say is that it is a metaphor. Well, I actually don't know if I'm using that word right, but like sentiment is the same. For so long, I was like, oh, my God, that is good food. Or in past relationships, I'm like,
I see where you're going.
In past relationships, I felt like I've been myself. But now that I'm actually in a relationship where I'm so myself, I'm like, oh, I wasn't myself. So it's the same thing. It's like now that I've had good food, I look back on the Chili's and on the Olive Garden. I'm like, I wasn't having good food. I wasn't myself. And now I am myself, and it just feels so good.
Okay, well, there's nothing more freeing than being able to be with someone that makes you feel like yourself.
Truly. Like, I'm a freak. No, like, I'm actually, like, freaky. It's weird. Well, I mean.
What?
No, like, I just am weird. Like, I catch myself saying things, and I'm like, am I okay? Like, I told him I wanted to live in his belly button.
That's weird.
I know.
Also, ew. No. Wait, why would you say that? Why would you think that? In his belly button? Yeah. Have you smelt his belly button?
No.
You should do that first.
This is getting weird.
You're getting weird. Okay, what else did you tell him that's fucking weird?
Oh, I'm not going to say it now because I feel like I feel judged.
No, don't feel judged. I'm a fucking crazy person. Are you kidding me? I'm the last person anyone should feel judged by. I'm insane.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I think very comforting to be around me. Yeah. Can't get weirder, crazier.
No, that's true. No, he also has a grill and like a tooth gem. And I just really like licking them. It's just like a weird desire that I have. Like I just have to like.
Do you guys share a toothbrush?
No. Ew. That would be fucking weird.
Do you like, are you randomly like licking food off his grill and gem? Or are you like, or is it just when you guys are making out, you like to touch it?
No, he can't eat with his grill on. Oh. I kept calling it a crown, by the way, too. I was like, oh, your crown. He's like, right. That is so lame. Like, it's not a crown. I was like, oh, okay. Sorry.
Oh, gosh. That is so funny.
Anyway. Okay. So, like, what's going on in your life?
Also, God. I need to tell you why I was thinking that you were going to be talking about the Olive Garden and Chili's. It's because I was listening to Nick Viall's podcast.
Yeah.
And he, like, went on this tangent about how awful the Cheesecake Factory was. And I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? The Cheesecake Factory is amazing. And anyways, I think I've been defending the Cheesecake Factory in my mind since listening to his podcast. So,
wait, you know what? We need to, like, do a trip to the Cheesecake Factory. I haven't been to a Cheesecake Factory, I think, since I was a junior in high school.
What? You never went to the one at the Grove in LA?
No, and you know what? Missy and I always talked about going. We're like, we just want to have a day where we go to the Cheesecake Factory at the Grove, and then we go see a movie, and like we just like bop around the Grove.
Yeah, that's like sounds like a perfect day.
I know, but we never did.
Oh my gosh, the Cheesecake
Factory. She had to
fucking
move to London.
Slaps. Like the brown bread, the chicken costoletto.
I just like having like 57 things to choose from at a restaurant. It's kind of nice. Like yeah. It's a novel. It's like, oh my.
It's a little overwhelming at the same time.
You think you're at the back of the menu and there's more.
There is so much more. I end up getting the same thing every single time because of that.
What do you get?
The chicken costeletto.
Oh.
So, so good.
Gino Risatisa, I think, went on her first date with that guy at Cheesecake Factory, if I'm not mistaken.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Anyway.
All goes downhill from there.
Nothing good happens at the Cheesecake Factory.
My friend used to work there in high school, and I have the fondest memories there.
Truly.
I really do. And Chili's also.
No, we were a Red Robin crew. Like, did you have Red Robins here?
No, we didn't have any.
Oh, my God. We would go to Red Robin. We'd get a basket of the thick fries, and we'd put, like, half of the bottle of seasoning on them with the ranch. Oh, it was so good. Like, oh, my God. It was delish.
We used to go to Chili's every single Friday night with, like, 20 kids deep. It would have a huge long table. I could picture it in like one side of the restaurant, and everyone would have like chili con queso. I think I'd always get like the chicken Caesar wrap or like these chicken fingers, and it was just so much fun. And then we'd walk to the movie theater right afterwards.
Wow, like the most wholesome suburban experience.
It really was.
Hitting a chain restaurant, then going to the AMC movie theater.
Isn't that perfect?
Truly.
It was so good.
Truly.
Okay, well, in my Patreon last week, I shared with you guys my first official house tour.
Mm-hmm.
And what's crazy is we actually just had a meeting about our house with this publisher who owns an interior design magazine and an interior designer. And they're interested in making our house a show house, and because we want to redo our house. So it has kind of happened super randomly, but when we were purchasing our house, my realtor had an interior designer come by because our house is old. Like, it needs some work. It needs some updating. And so she wanted this interior designer to give us some ideas and be like, I think you're going to have to put like X amount of money into your house to like make it, to get it to this value or whatever. And I was trying to explain to the interior designer that like I also work with furniture brands because of what I do for a living. Anyways, make a long story short, there's a thing called show houses where they choose these homes and they have all these interior designers come in and completely redo the house for you. And you have say on, like, a bunch of things. Like, you have say on the major things, but then they have interior designers come and, like, do cool things, like the bathrooms, all this sort of stuff. And randomly, she, like, gave this idea to us. And she was like, I don't know if they'd be interested in it. And yesterday, they came over and had a meeting with us, with the publisher and everything. He's like, let's do it. He's like, go to Thailand for a year, come back, you'll have a new house. Which is—
Wait, this kind of sounds like a dream.
I know. I kind of think that too. Steve's like, we should do it. Steve's like all in.
Wait, so I have a few questions.
Yeah.
You would have to leave for a year?
Yeah, because they're completely redoing your house. Like, you can't live in it.
Okay, but then you get to live in it after.
Afterwards, yeah.
But then they use this house and they like—
So this is why it's complicated. So Steve wants to sell our house eventually. Like, for me, I'm like, I really like this area. I'm like, if we decide to stay in New Jersey.
If you sell this house after you come on this podcast talking about how much you love your fucking block every day.
I know, but
you cannot.
Steve just sees it from, like, a business perspective. Like, we got our house at, like, a pretty good price. Like, if we put money into it, we can get more money out. And so he's like, you know, he flips home. So he's like, let's flip our house, too. So with this show house, they come in, they do all the design. So there's a charitable component to it. And it's like a media component. It's all about advertising. So you get like an insane discount on your house. You can like pretty much get a whole new house for like a fraction of the price with literally the best materials ever because all these brands are coming in and doing your house because they are getting all the media from it.
So do you have to pay anything?
You pay, yes. You pay part of it.
Okay.
But like you get like I would almost say like a 70% discount, which is huge.
Mm-hmm.
But you would have to like go away for a year. Because you can't live in your house. So now this is something we're entertaining because part of me is like, I love my neighborhood so much, but I do kind of feel like it could be a forever neighborhood. And our kids are so young right now. So if we want to have an adventure, like, let's just go do it.
Where should we go?
Yeah. I don't know.
To a beach?
I think to a beach.
Okay, I'm coming.
I think to a beach. Yeah.
When would this happen?
These conversations just started.
Okay.
So there's like a lot to flush out. So we don't know if it's 100% happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's really cool that they want to feature our house
That's
and
so
they want
cool.
to do it. And I feel like it could be freaking awesome.
Yeah. I feel like you kind of have to do it because, like, this opportunity sounds, like, so wild.
I know. Yeah, you're kind of right.
Like, it's so wild. Like, it's kind of like you kind of have to.
I know. That's what Steve said, too.
Yeah.
So we're, like, kind of just going through all the numbers and seeing what will happen. But isn't that kind of crazy?
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's so wild. Let me say wild one more time. Wild.
It is kind of wild. So, yeah, I, like— As that happened and they were like, yeah, we want to feature your house. Like, let's do it. They love our whole story, like coming back to New Jersey, like all the things. And then as that happened, like I got a video of like, why you should move with your kids to Southeast Asia. And I was like, oh, that feels very timely.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. We'll see where this adventure takes us.
Actually, when I was in Costa Rica, one of our guides was saying that so many young families moved to Costa Rica with their kids because it's like one of the safest places. Mm-hmm. And then their kids learn Spanish. And
Steve has some friends in Costa Rica who did the exact that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay.
Maybe we go to Costa Rica.
I'm down.
Okay. I love that you're coming wherever we go.
I mean, you know that I am my hottest, best self on a beach.
With a tan.
Why did I move to New York? Still questioning.
Yeah, same.
I'm not sure. I'm just knowing that the universe is guiding me where I need to be.
Perfect.
Also, I am having like a spiritual awakening. So I've never been someone who can meditate. Like I really tried in 2020. Like I gave it my all. Like I had headspace. I was on there. I was like, when the thought comes in, acknowledge it and let it pass. And I was like, I tried so hard.
No, it's hard.
My brain is like. Anyway, my new therapist, we're really working on, I mean, a lot of things. But the other day, she put me into like a meditative state.
Oh.
She didn't put me into it, but she guided me.
I kind of want to try your therapist. She seems like a trip.
Oh, she's amazing. Like literally, remember she had me dancing around my apartment?
Yeah.
Crazy. Anyway, she like guided me. I didn't even know where the session was going, but basically I feel like responsible for other people's kind of the thread. And she was just like trying to help me release that. So she was leading me through some breath work and I got into a meditative state. I felt high. And she was like, Ryan, I have never seen you so relaxed in your body. And I was like, to my therapist, I was like, I feel high right now. Like I was like, that is what people talk about. And like, I started getting emotional and I was like, oh, I see why people are spiritual, like meditation. I'm like, it was crazy.
What did she do to get you there?
I mean,
can you take me there right now?
I don't think I could.
Okay.
Basically, it was like it took an hour. It was an hour session.
Okay.
And like if I was on my own, I would have given up. But because she was there
guiding
and
you.
Kind of asking me questions and prompting me and like,
were your eyes closed this whole time?
Closed.
Were you laying down?
No, I was sitting on my couch. It was just, it was crazy. I've never experienced anything like that. And I just feel like I'm like a spiritual person now.
Okay, so are you going to continue doing it? Are you going to try and do Headspace now?
We'll see. I don't know.
Okay. Wait, can I tell you, talking about spirituality, something that I've been really bummed about?
What?
Have you seen all the talk about Jay Shetty?
That one was a hard one for me to hear.
Right? Okay, so if you guys don't know, Jay Shetty is an author.
I love his podcast.
A podcaster. I love his podcast too. I love his voice. He is a former monk.
He's in the self-help space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he has like one of the top mental health self-help podcasts in the world. Mm-hmm. And all of this news came out about him recently that pretty much he's like lied about all of his backstory about being a monk, that it's all fake. He also like
Was it all fake though?
A lot of it.
I need to read the article because I can't speak on it without spreading like...
People were saying that the people that knew him were like, oh, he was like living in a mansion in London instead of being a Buddhist monk like he was claiming. He also like was selling these courses to become a coach that apparently had like no credibility to them. Anyways, all the stuff came out about him and it's been so disappointing to me because I love him. I love him.
I mean, so are we, this is well-researched journalism. It's like not just a hearsay.
I think it's pretty well-researched.
Okay. I need to look. I can't speak on it.
And also people can still make their own opinions. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
You could still like maybe he, even if some of the stories were fabricated, maybe you are still a Jay Shetty fan. But I listened to this guy on TikTok who's like very, very spiritual talk about it. And he's like, I knew he was a phony because he became so obsessed with celebrity culture of having all these celebrities on. And if you're a monk and you're super spiritual, that is like the last thing that you're supposed to give value to is like celebrity in the material world. And he was seemingly so materialistic that it just wasn't making sense. Mm. Anyways, this is like obviously people's opinions, you know?
His interview with Tom Holland was like one of my favorite. It was so good. It was really
I think he's a great interviewer.
I know.
But yeah, that kind of was a blow to me.
Oh, well, I need to look into this further, but that makes me sad.
And then I also have a group chat with a bunch of friends, and we always talk about him. And then I was like, wait, have you guys, like, seen this Jay Shetty news? And then half my friends were like, I always knew something was up. And I was like, did you guys always know something was up? Because you weren't sharing that before.
No, so many people say that. Like, I saw that on, like, when something comes out about someone, whether it's Jay Shetty or whatever, people are like, I always had a feeling.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
I was like, well, did you? Exactly. I was like, you've never shared that you had a feeling. I was like, I did not have a feeling.
No, I did not have a feeling.
I had lots of feelings that he made me feel.
Sketch
was not one of them.
Yeah.
No. Wait, actually, I have to tell you about this app I downloaded. Also, I heard about it from TikTok. It's called AppBlock.
It's so funny because, okay, tell me about it.
So you download it and you can set it to block certain things on your phone so you can't access it.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, my ADD mind started to set this up. I was like, I need this because I don't sleep well because of the kids. What happens is they wake me up, and then instead of being able to fall back asleep, I end up going on social media, and I'm up even longer, and it's just a mess. Like, mm-hmm. I fucking need some sleep, mm-hmm. you know? So I was like, I'm going to set it so I cannot access my social media apps from 9 p.m. to 7 a.m.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on that I need to watch during those times? Nothing. So I started to do it, and then, like, there was all these, like, questions, and I was like, oh, I'll do this later. And I logged out of it, and I forgot about it until I went on my phone, and I can't access Instagram. And I was like, oh, my gosh, it actually worked, like, by accident. Like, I did set it up. So then I'm like, okay, you did this. You set it up. Like, it's fine. Trust the process.
Mm-hmm.
7:30 rolls around. I still can't get into Instagram. I'm like freaking out. I have to post a campaign that day. But also like, okay, I was trying to make it about work. I was like, I want to get on social media, you know? Still can't get on. 8:30 comes by. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm telling Steve, he's like, what is wrong with you? Like, don't you have some self-control that you can't just like not log on to these apps? Like, you have to like
give Steve,
some random app access to your phone to lock you out of what you use for your business. And I was like, you are not helping. I was like, I'm a solution-oriented person, Steve. Can you find a solution for me?
Can't you go in and pause it?
I could not pause it. Every single time I went into the app, I couldn't do anything for it. And I must have, like, set it up wrong because it wasn't for the times that I set it up for. Anyways, to make a long story short, I figured out if I go into my settings, into the app, like on your settings app, you can restrict its access to do that. So I was able to turn it off. So it is fine. Day rescued. However, genius app. Genius app.
If you use it correctly, great.
If you use it correctly, perfect.
Well, I think you told me about it recently, but then I was at an event last night, an influencer event, and I was like, oh, let's exchange Instagram. She's like, oh, my app's locked right now.
Mm.
Two of them had their things locked.
Were they using the same app?
Yeah, or I don't know if it was the same one, but it's the same concept.
Interesting.
Exactly. And one girl was like, oh, yeah, I have it locked between like 9 to 5. I'm like, you're an influencer. What are you doing? I'm like, you need to log it from like 8 p.m. to like 7 a.m.
But imagine how much work she gets done. Maybe she posts before that and then does all of her work and then we'll go on in the evening.
Yeah. Mm. But anyway, it is very interesting. But I feel like I've gotten better with my self-control. And also like when I have a good book to read, like I genuinely like don't want to, I'm in my book.
What are you in your book? What book are you reading?
Fourth Wing.
I don't know what that is. Is that by, like, the Sarah Maas person?
No, but similar, like, fantasy, like, dragons kind of thing. I'm only, like, a chapter in. Because I just finished Lessons in Chemistry, which was also so good. Oh, I need to watch the show. Anyway, yeah, that's good, though, because I do think you need to not be scrolling when you wake up. Because then it just gets your brain going more, and you're like, ugh.
Exactly.
Or just, like, try meditating like me.
I know. I'm going to become a spiritual goddess like you.
Like, honestly, like, you can learn to meditate just like me.
Okay, perfect.
Oh, God. All right, let's get into today's Ask Away.
Okay.
This one, I have never been in a relationship, like ever, meaning I'm still a virgin. Is there something wrong with me?
No.
Couldn't have said that faster. No. Is there something wrong?
There is nothing wrong with you.
We put so much emphasis, especially as women, on like our goal in life is to be in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so messed up. I actually need to Google this stat right now, but more people than ever are single. More people, like the percentage of single adults in the U.S. right now is higher than it's ever been. It's 49.3%. Like, you do not need to be...
Wow, that's insane.
Mm-hmm. You do not need to be in a relationship to have value, meaning, like, there's nothing...
Or a happy life.
Or a happy life. Like, obviously, that's okay to want something. We're creatures of companionship. That's something that we want. But there is absolutely nothing wrong with you. And I think more people than you think have never been in a relationship before.
And I think that if you're a virgin, that's absolutely okay too.
Yeah.
I feel like if anything, like that's something that like you're valuing and holding to yourself, and you will have that experience with the right partner when you're ready.
And listen, as someone who went a little crazy after my long relationship, it is like the grass is always greener.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've learned from that experience, and this is just me, like I think you can enjoy, everyone can enjoy sex in whatever way that brings, feels good to them. I was getting absolutely nothing out of casual sex. Mm-hmm. Like it brings nothing to you. And it's like such a strong, energetic connection when you do that with someone. Like I wish I would have been more selective. Mm-hmm. You know, but also at the same time, I had to go through what I wanted to do during that time, and it felt good at that time.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. But like, there is nothing wrong with you if you are a virgin. There is nothing wrong with you if you've never had a relationship at all. I honestly feel like you probably know yourself better than...
Totally.
Like, why do we uphold... And a lot of times, like, we're upholding people who are in relationships who aren't even in a healthy relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, we're idolizing something that has no substance.
And honestly, even with relationships, like you said, grass is always greener. Mm-hmm. Your single friends, like, want to be in a relationship. And so many times, like, your people in a relationship, even if they are in a happy relationship, sometimes they're like, oh, I just want that freedom of being single. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, even if you're in a good relationship, there is someone else you always have to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine just only having to think about yourself.
Yeah. That's me for the last 5 years.
That's crazy.
I know. All right, next one. My ex and I broke up 2 years ago now. He was a few years older than I am. And I always thought when we broke up, we'd get back together at some point. It was a clear break, but we loved each other so much that I guess I just assumed it couldn't truly be the end. I still feel like I have so much love for him that it keeps me from progressing in other relationships. I don't know him anymore, but hear little things about his life. I know he's already been in and out of short-lived relationship. I reached out to him via text a few months back and he never responded. The last time we properly spoke, he wished me a happy Valentine's Day last year. I want to move on, but I cannot help but wonder if we are going to find our way back to one another. And as I mentioned, it's preventing me from truly experiencing love with anyone else. I know I need to move on, but how? Am I crazy for still wondering and still loving him, though he's a stranger now? Need someone to keep it so real with me.
I think you're not even giving yourself the opportunity to find someone else. I feel like you need to, you owe yourself the time to be in another relationship, to meet other people, to like invest in your own happiness without worrying about this person. And I feel like you almost need to like block him, cut ties, like unfollow him from social media, do everything that you need to do to stop thinking about him.
Yeah, I'll be so real with you and tell you, if I was like having a conversation with my best friend, you got to move on.
You got to move on.
You got to move on.
Mm-hmm.
It's been 2 years. Like, mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong with that. Like it took me, I think, like, close to 3 years to really, like, feel moved on, quote unquote.
And were you kind of feeling like this, like, maybe you guys will get back together or no?
There was always, like, a little thing in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, like I said in the beginning of the episode, like, now I'm in a new relationship. Like, I thought what I had with my ex was, like, oh, my God. And now what I have now, mind blown. Like, I'm like, whoa, like so much better. Like it opened up a whole new world of possibility. So I think you are just selling yourself short and not, and you're keeping yourself from potentially finding something that's truly meant for you. And I think like, yeah, you got to move on. You got to at least open yourself up to meeting someone new and putting yourself out there, because you're just holding yourself back.
Yeah, and I feel like you got to stop asking about him. Stop, like, seeing what he's up to. Stop asking, like, your mutual friends, whatever. Like, you got to do whatever you can to, like, get him out of your mind.
Yeah, and I think, like—
Maybe move across the country.
Maybe move across the country. Take a solo trip to—you know what? We'll heal all— Go to Europe for the summer.
Yeah.
Okay. Take a solo trip to Europe. That changed my life. But also, I think in my kind of self-improvement journey, I really, Gabby Bernstein is someone that I like listening to. And she talks about how like the universe is always conspiring to bring you the most amount of good. And like, if you just trust that, like, if you are supposed to be back with him, it will happen. It right. will. But you can't just be sitting there waiting. Right. Like, you have 100%. To go live your life, like, be in a relationship, experience things. And if you guys are, it will happen. And if not, you're going to meet someone even better and your life is going to take the path that it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. So I think you got to stop waiting and you got to get out there.
100%. Hi, ladies. I'm struggling at the moment with keeping up with my own insecurities in my sex life. In my early 20s, after graduating, I would sleep with a plethora of guys for years, including going to a sex party. But with moving, career, and grief, it slowed down dramatically. I find myself pressuring myself to keep up with my friends and how often they have sex. They're all single. Have you ever had this? I keep telling myself I need to continue to have sex regularly, but being single and not wanting to interact with a lot of guys, being tired from work, I'm a teacher, it's a lot. I think I'm stuck in a rut. How can I get out of this? P.S. I bloody love you guys. You're both such an inspiration. Oh, thank you.
Bloody hell. This is so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need to ask yourself, are you having sex because you want to have sex?
Or just because you feel like you should?
Yeah, or because you feel like your...
friends are having more sex?
Friends are having sex and you have to keep up with something. Because, like, doing something because your friends are doing it or because you think you should be doing something mm-hmm. is... you should never be doing that. Like,
yeah.
If you are tired from work and you are not feeling like you want to interact with a lot of men,
that's
do
okay.
not. That yeah. is 100% fine. Like, you do not need to be having sex because you feel like you're... And I also think that, like, having a healthy sex life also starts with, like, the relationship with yourself and your body.
Mm-hmm.
And having sex doesn't mean you're investing into, like, your sex life and have a healthy sex life.
Right.
Like, I think those are two very different things. And if you feel like you're forcing yourself to be going out there and doing that, then stop.
I mean, it's hard for me to even... answer this other than what you're just saying, because I feel like I've always been like the opposite of this. Like,
yeah, we've had very different views.
Like having like sex with, I don't, I guess random men or like men who I wasn't really in a relationship never brought me joy, like mm-hmm. ever. It never made me feel like better about myself. So like that was not something that I ever felt like competitive with my friends. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? If anything, I was like more insecure, like, oh my gosh, like all my friends are like in relationships and stuff like that. Like, how come no one wants to date me?
Mm-hmm.
But having like sex with men, just to have sex with men, like that just, I was always like, you know how much of work you should do to have sex with me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, absolutely not.
And I guess I see it differently. Like, there was a point in time where that was like very freeing for me. And mm-hmm. It was a very positive experience at a point in my life. And it actually did really help with my confidence and like completely changed my viewpoint around dating at the time. And like, at the time I was doing that, I felt like it was a very positive, freeing experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I think like you need to listen to your intuition. You need to listen to yourself. And if you're feeling like, when I felt like I had kind of lived that phase of my life and I felt like I wasn't feeling positive about it anymore, or feeling like I was getting growing or anything good coming from it, that's when I kind of pivoted and stopped. I think you need to listen to yourself, and you know what you want to do in this situation. You just need to listen to yourself.
Totally.
Okay. How have you ladies handled your finances? Do you have a general idea of where you're at and or just wing it, which is what I typically do? Or do you budget out everything and follow it? I've always had a job that paid me enough to cover expenses and allowed me to say yes to most things. But now I really want to be intentional about my spending and really understand my finances. Like 401ks, Roth IRA, I have them and do it, but don't understand it. Pray for me. So in addition to budgeting, do you ladies know all the in and outs of your finances, and do you pay someone? I'm single and have always assumed I'd be married by now and my husband would handle all of that now. I'm realizing I want to do it on my own. Okay. First of all, I almost didn't put this question in here because for me, talking about money causes so much anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And in my household growing up, money equaled fighting. Money equaled conflict. Like, my parents fought about money constantly. So for me now, I will be 100% real with you, and this is, like, embarrassing for me to say, I avoid my finances. Like, I hate checking my bank account. I hate thinking about money. And this is something that I have been working on. And actually, I want to do a full episode on this with an expert, because Christina and I should not be giving financial advice. We're going to do an episode on this with another financial expert, and we've done some in the past, but I really feel like I'm in a different place, and like, I'm embarrassed to say that, like, I really don't know very much at all. And I think we feel like we should. And if we admit that we don't, we're like shamed for not knowing. And I think that's fucked up too. So like, all I want to say in this is like, I'm there with you. Like, I feel so overwhelmed by it. I don't know really what the fuck I'm doing. But in the last few months, and I shared this on my Instagram story in January, I'm like, okay, I'm 30. I can't wait for a man to rely like on my finances. Mm-hmm. Like, I've got to fucking figure this shit out. So the things that I've done is Miss Dow Jones is one of my favorite people to follow. And I want to try and get her on and do an episode. I like how she talks about money. I am reading Ramit Smith's book. And I started this years ago and got a few chapters in, but I'm redoing it. I'll Teach You to Be Rich. Because right now I have a financial advisor. And then I have someone who does my like business expenses monthly. Mm-hmm. But like, I want to know more what's going on. And we're never taught that, especially as women. So those are the two things that I'm starting with. And I will say, I was talking to Miss Dow Jones in my DMs, and she was like, you don't need a financial advisor. Like, you can do this on your own. And she offers some resources on that too. And she also confirmed that reading I'll Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit is a good place to start.
Okay. I find this question really interesting for many reasons. One, I love looking at my bank account. Honestly, for me, like, it makes me have goals. Like, I love being able to save money. I love feeling financially free. Like, but then I also get anxiety about it. Like, if I see numbers slipping or like my credit card statements coming in, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I pay very much attention to how much is my bank account. I pay no attention to how much I'm charging. And it is fucking terrifying. And I'm gonna give you some advice that my friend Lauren sent to me, because Lauren, kind of like you, grew up in a household where like money just always brought so much tension. And she was in tons of credit card debt in her early 20s, then started making a little bit of money, was able to get herself out, and now is on a path to saving. This girl writes down every single dollar she spends. Every single dollar. And I was like, that is so crazy to me. How do you do that? For me, I'm pretty much like, I get my monthly statements and I'm like, ugh.
Well, I did that in the month of January. It was
shocking. Mm-hmm. It is shocking. You have no idea how much money you're spending on things that don't matter to you. Mm-hmm. On that Postmates dinner, on like that Uber, on that Amazon order that you just keep, you're like, oh, $15 here, $15 there. It adds up so quickly. So she started writing every single thing down and was then able to budget by realizing like what she was erroneously spending. Mm-hmm. And so now she will give herself, like, for me, honestly, even when we come to the city to do these podcasts, I just tell myself like no more like $100 lunches when we're like doing the podcast. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, I don't need to do that. I could pack like a lunch or a Chomstick. And she was like, yeah, like I give myself like a budget. I can have two bougie dinners a month and one bougie lunch, and that's it. Mm-hmm. So I think that the first step is to really start documenting what you're spending.
Yeah. Well, and I think the first step is to just like the fact that you're saying like you don't know what you're doing. Like, that's so proud. Like, mm-hmm. I'm proud of you for saying that. Like, I think that's a really great thing to recognize and be like, hey, because it's like, I feel shameful about it when I say it. So I think that's a great thing. And I think that is such a good place to start. And I actually did that for the month of January. And it was so helpful. I think the act of physically like writing down.
Did you do it in your notes app?
In my notes app. So I just had like my notes app. It was called January Spending. Actually, now I'm inspired. I'm going to start. I'm going
to
do it for
April again.
I feel
like I need to do this too. I really need to do this.
And it was like, whoa. Because for me, I honestly, like, if I went to a coffee shop and like swipe my card, if you were like, Rand, how much was that? I couldn't tell you.
I have
you.
No idea how much I just spent for this tea.
Literally. Mm-hmm. And so if you have to get tea and then you're like, oh, $7.50. Mm-hmm. Like, and honestly, if anyone wants to try and like shame anyone who's like saying like right now how we don't know that, like, get out of here.
Yeah.
Like, we're not taught this stuff. And I think that's such a good place to start.
Another thing is, I remember one time I literally just deleted the Stocks app off my phone. It like comes with your iPhone. I was like, I don't need that. I'm not going to pay attention to stocks. Like, I don't care. That's stupid. Like, even if you're not investing your money, like, it is important to know, like, what is going on financially in the world. So, like, even if you were to look at your stock apps once a week just to see, like, what the market is doing, and I don't think you need a financial planner. Like, I had money with a financial planner, and I've, like, not made any money. And then I decided one day to put some money into my own account. And I was like, I want to invest in this one company. I love this company. It was Amazon. I was like, I shop from Amazon every single day. And I remember like my financial advisor was like, oh, these tech apps, blah, blah, blah. I was like, why would I not invest in Amazon? I literally, that's where I buy everything from. And I did. And I like did decently well with Amazon because I like trusted my own instinct on it. And I just feel like sometimes you just have to try and educate yourself. Like, there's so many resources right now that I know it's overwhelming, but start budgeting, start doing little things like downloading the stock apps, like looking what they are, start reading Ramit Shah's book, listen to Ms. Dow Jones' podcast, and I feel like little by little, like, we all need to become financially more literate.
Last question. My boyfriend is out of town visiting his family and having a hard time, and I've tried to reach out to him, but I haven't heard from him in over 2.5 days. So I stopped texting him and waited for him to text me. He finally did, after days of silence, to say he misses me. But I'm mad and don't think he actually wants to be in this relationship. Help.
No, absolutely not.
Girl.
You haven't heard from him in 2.5 days when
you
went to go see his family? Like, I'm sorry, like, he should be FaceTiming you there to so you could see his family too.
Okay, so no, you need, this no. is like, the, to me, I think this is like a non-negotiable.
I think so too. Like, this is so disrespectful. And honestly, he's telling you how he feels.
Yeah, I think we gotta cut it.
Yeah, you deserve better than that.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, maybe he does miss having someone to talk to, but he misses your availability. Mm-hmm. Just because he misses you doesn't mean he deserves you with that behavior.
I think about, like, I had a past partner who, like, when he was with his family, he's like, Ray, like, I'm with my family. Like, I don't want to be, like, on my phone, blah, blah, blah. With my new boyfriend now, like, sorry to keep banging on it, but it's just, like, blowing my mind how many things, like, I used to put up with that now it's showing me, like, you don't have to. Like, he's with his brother and visiting his brother, and he FaceTimes me, and he's like, oh, my God, we're at this restaurant. You would love it. Like, say hi to my brother. Like, look at this food. Like, 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But, like, just makes me know, like, I'm thinking 2 seconds, and I don't know. I think that he is not valuing you or your time or the relationship.
No, girl, you deserve better.
Yeah. Okay, everyone, that's all we have for today's Ask Away episode. We hope you enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for listening. And don't forget to join us on patreon.com/confidentcollective. Love you, confidants.
See you next week.